are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this game day edition. It is Monday and Monday Night Football tonight, preseason version, game two of the exhibition season, 49ers at the Denver Broncos, coming off a couple of days of some joint practices in Denver. So we thought, what the hell, let's do a preseason crossover edition. My buddy Cody Rourke, he's the host of Locked On Broncos. So we're going to chat it up about the two teams, what to expect, what to look for here in this preseason contest. By most accounts, it was the 49ers defense doing a number on Joe Flacco and the Broncos offense. And it was astutely pointed out by multiple people, actually, and it makes a lot of sense. It looked like the Broncos defense held up pretty well against the 49ers offense. And yeah, these defenses go up against similar offenses every day in practice because Rich Scangarello, former quarterbacks coach with the 49ers, now the offensive coordinator for Vic Fangio's Denver Broncos, he's running a similar offense that Kyle Shanahan is running in San Francisco. So it would make sense. It would be very familiar for those defenses to face an offense like that. Not only are the defenses talented, but it's a little bit more of an advantage there because the 49ers 2019 version haven't seen a 3-4 defense like the Denver Broncos. And the Denver Broncos practicing against that Broncos D, they haven't seen the likes of the 49ers front, which should be the strength of this team. So very interesting reports from Denver and those joint practices. A couple of skirmishes, nothing major there. The 49ers came out of it relatively unscathed. There was the brief scare of, and I guess it's still a mild scare, of right guard Mike Person, who showed up after practice one day with a walking boot, but apparently it's not a major injury. He's considered day-to-day, most likely will not play. In fact, I'm sure he won't play today, and probably still a lot of 49ers be held out, but not all of the 28 that were held out last week will be held out again this week. We're going to get to see Jimmy Garoppolo for at least a couple of series. We're going to get to see a lot of the starters back in there. And if Garoppolo's in there, you know all of the healthy starters on the offensive line are going to be in there as well. And the one thing I'm looking for from the 49ers perspective offensively is, again, that rotation with the wide receivers. Who's in? What position are they playing? Are they trying to get some of the young players to learn some other positions? Could give us some clues in what Kyle Shanahan's thinking with this wide receiver core and who might have the leg up in the competition to make the roster in a very competitive group. Before we bring Cody on, just remind everybody to follow me on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can find me also hosting Locked On NFL here on the network, taking around the league and not just the 49ers. Been fun working with former NFL scout Matt Williamson, and we're chopping it up daily about the NFL as a whole. So that's a lot of fun. You're going to want to subscribe there. If you enjoy hearing me and you want to hear another smarter person talk about football alongside me, and if you're getting ready for your fantasy football drafts, not only are we doing Fantasy Fridays on Locked On NFL leading up to the season, we've got a daily fantasy football podcast on the network hosted by Vinny Iyer of Sports Illustrated. He's bringing you that fantasy football knowledge every day. So that's a must-subscribe show as you get ready for your fantasy football drafts here in 2019. And now, let's get this crossover cooking.
Now we get to dive into a very special crossover episode here on the Locked On NFL Network. I'm joined by host of Locked On 49ers and the host of the Locked On NFL podcast, my man, my good friend, Brian Peacock. And you know what? We had some fans, 49ers fans, Broncos fans reaching out to us on social media saying, hey, are you guys going to be doing a crossover show? Absolutely. And what a better event for tonight's kickoff, Broncos and 49ers, Broncos Stadium at Mile High. Brian, how are you, my man? I'm very excited about tonight's matchup. Even though it's not the regular season, it's always fun to jump into the podcast and talk with you.
Yeah, it's still a lot of fun. It's a huge event for 49ers fans getting to see Jimmy Garoppolo taking his first snaps since week three of last year. So it is pretty important as far as preseason matchups go. So I'm pumped for it. And I'm always pumped to talk to you as well, Cody.
Well, you know, we got the action tonight, Monday Night Football, but the story leading up to this is the Broncos and the 49ers the last couple of days have held joint practices with one another at the UC Hill Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado. And you know what? The first day, it almost appears as if both offenses for the Broncos and the Niners struggled a little bit while the defenses had success, but the Broncos the story in Denver, for just from what I've been seeing, what I've been told as well, is the Broncos struggled on day one. Day two, they had a much better performance and, you know, with some chippiness involved in joint practices, a couple of scuffles and some brawls, but you're not going to see any of that kind of stuff carry over into tonight's matchup. So with that said, I want to analyze the 49ers offense from my side. Brian, I want to get your thoughts. And then obviously looking at the offensive side of the ball for them, we talk about it with Jimmy Garoppolo coming back from ACL. You have Matt Breida, Tevin Coleman as running back options, Marquise Goodwin, and George Kittle, who, you know, more than likely we're not going to expect in this game, but also a former Bronco, Ben Garland at center. What can we expect in this matchup, and what are some of the storylines of this game for the 49ers offensive side of the ball?
Number one, as I mentioned, is that Jimmy Garoppolo, seeing him play sharp and seeing him look good under center, seeing him stay healthy for as long as he plays, which I don't think is going to be very long. I'd be surprised if he goes further than one quarter. Maybe he'll run two series, something like that. But seeing that first team offense and seeing who's on the field with him for that first team offense, because the 49ers sat 28 players plus another guy, another two players that were on the PUP list. So 30 of their pretty high impact, pretty important players were not playing in the first preseason game. So they're going to have their starters out there. They're going to have their number one offensive line. They are dinged up a little bit there. Weston Richburg is out. And Mike Person was in a walking boot after that first joint practice with the Broncos, although he's listed as day-to-day, so it's not as bad as what it first looked like when he showed up in a walking boot after practice. But if anybody else goes down or something like that, I think they're going to pull Garoppolo. They don't want to be messing around if Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey aren't out there blocking for him on the edge, especially with what the Broncos can throw at the 49ers from a pass rush standpoint. But that's the key. Garoppolo is the key. And then, and sorry to interrupt you there, but the wide receivers are huge, because Dante Pettis is, he's been getting challenged by the coaching staff, and he's not been looking like the breakout guy that the 49ers were hoping to see in year two. And again, that's only one preseason game so far. So hopefully that lights a fire under him and he starts to look like that player. And most likely it's probably going to be Marquise Goodwin starting at the other wide receiver spot across from him. And with the running backs, let's see if they even get on the field, because Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman both sat last week and they should be ready to get in there. And we'll see a 1A, 1B, I think, thing going on with Coleman and Breida.
Now, we saw Coleman, too, as well, back when he played for the Falcons at that standpoint, too. But, you know, you mentioned Dante Pettis. He's been challenged by the coaching staff. You have some additions in Deebo Samuel, Jordan Matthews as well. Behind George Kittle, who are more likely we won't see, you look at the tight end depth for the 49ers. They have about, I would have to say, about five, six other guys behind him. Which type of weapon can we expect? Because the last time these two teams faced, granted it was a regular season, George Kittle went for over 200 yards in the first half against the Broncos, an area where the Broncos have struggled. And I know that brings back a lot of good memories on your standpoint, some nightmares from a Broncos standpoint. But Brian, you know, looking at the tight end battle really behind George Kittle, the Broncos have had a hard time stopping tight ends. That's been a focal point of this offseason. Who can we expect to maybe be a weapon that could obviously create some production where George Kittle would usually be, even though he's not going to play in preseason?
We might see some George Kittle out there, and I know the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan doesn't really like preseason games. He's going to keep guys out as much as he can, but I think he wants to see a little rapport build as well with Jimmy Garoppolo, who missed most of last season. So he needs to get some snaps, and he needs to get some snaps with his weapons and his first-team offense. So we might see a little bit of George Kittle throughout the next couple of games. But after George Kittle, there's a lot of guys fighting for roster spots, and right now it's a player who's undrafted by the name of Ross Dwelly, who looks like he's really earning that number two tight end job. And so you will probably see a lot of Ross Dwelly. And of course, he's not as dynamic athletically as George Kittle is, but he's shown an ability to get open and catch the football and make some tough catches. So Ross Dwelly's probably going to be the number two. They've got an inline blocker, Levine Toilolo, who was with Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta and has now come over to be that block first tight end for the 49ers, since Garrett Celek is on the PUP list and he won't return until midseason at earliest with a back injury. And he's maybe a career threatening thing for Garrett Celek. So he would have normally been the number two guy, but he's going to be out. And then there's some other undrafted free agent types that are fighting for a roster spot there behind those guys. And the 49ers drafted a tight end out of Stanford in the sixth round, Caden Smith, who right now is working as the number four tight end. But I got to imagine they're going to give him plenty of opportunity to earn himself a roster spot.
Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Be free and put these tax problems behind you. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping clients resolve their tax issues and get them all the deductions and credits they are entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925-778-4871 to set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871 or make an appointment online at gregstaxservice.com. And if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service for all your tax needs. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate, standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers.
Well, and in this matchup too, you know, you expect that we could probably see Jimmy Garoppolo one or two quarters. You know, same exact thing for the Broncos and Joe Flacco. We take a look at this Broncos offense, a big addition in the offseason. Joe Flacco coming over via trade, John Elway picking up the phone, calling the Ravens, and making one of those moves before free agency even happened. And it certainly shook things up a little bit in the AFC West. And the Broncos knew that, hey, quarterback, there's not a lot of options out there for the pick, and who could they go with in free agency? They were much more comfortable going with Joe Flacco. So in this matchup, you can expect to see Joe Flacco in the starters probably for, like you said, I would say at least maybe a quarter for this game. I don't think they want to get anybody injured out there. We could even see Emmanuel Sanders step out onto the field tonight, which, you know, he's been on a pitch count all offseason. Head coach Vic Fangio had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that he expects to see him at some point. The only timeline I can really see is being the Rams game next week. After that, you have the Cardinals in the final preseason game. I don't think the Broncos would play him in a game like that where you're going to see a majority of the young guys, no starters. So we could see Emmanuel Sanders tonight, which would definitely be a surprise, but I would only expect to see him maybe for a play or two, a couple of snaps out there as he rebounds from Achilles surgery. But I tell you what, Brian, he looks really, really good in training camp, and taking a look at that, we're going to analyze in segment number three coming up here in just a moment. We're going to take a look at the both defensive side of the ball for the Broncos and the Niners. But also you're going to expect to see Philip Lindsay, who took the NFL by storm last year as an undrafted free agent. Royce Freeman, expect to see a 1-2 punch combo with these guys, a quick passing offense, and more involved getting Noah Fant involved in the passing game early on and also setting up the run game. So expect maybe the Broncos first play, first couple of plays, one of them to be a stretch play to Philip Lindsay, the other one maybe being a counter play. Now, if they can pick up a first down, expect them to pass it very quickly. But the offense, and you know this very well by Rich Scangarello, being a former 49ers guy, it's a quick passing offense. It's about setting everything up based on creating it off the run, off the play action, the bootleg. And so for the Broncos in this game, if they can come in and limit turnovers and create more production, we got to see a little bit from the starters against Seattle. We got to see one series, and it ended in a field goal where Joe Flacco just barely missed Cortland Sutton on a goal line fade. But really very intriguing matchup here, given the fact that we're going to get into the defensive side of the ball as well. Looking at that San Francisco 49ers defense, it looks to be very, very aggressive.
And Cody, one quick question about the Broncos running game, and maybe a little bit of a selfish question since I just picked up Royce Freeman late in a fantasy football draft this weekend. How are those carries going to be dispersed in Denver, and could Freeman eat into Lindsay's share of the offense?
I think with Philip Lindsay, we're going to see him probably get the most snaps on the field. Now, Royce Freeman is going to be the guy that's the bruiser. You're probably going to see him as your second down, second and five type back. He had a 50-yard scamper against the Seahawks last week. And, you know, he's lean. He's a little bit healthier this year. He lost, I think, about maybe 10 pounds. So he's looking a little bit quicker, too. So outside of that, I think he's a good sleeper pickup if for any of your fantasy leagues. So, yeah, definitely. I'm excited about Royce Freeman. Last year, I really felt like both him and Philip Lindsay both could have ran for 1,000 yards, but he had that high ankle sprain midway through the season that kept him out a couple of games and completely limited him towards the end of the year. So, you know, he finished with 500 yards carrying the ball. But, you know, between them, if he could have stayed healthy, I really wonder if they both of them could have got over 1,000 yards.
So you think it'll be a little bit more of a timeshare this year, and not so much a – maybe not a committee, but at least they're going to utilize both skill sets being rather than being more just Philip Lindsay's backfield?
Absolutely, yes. They're going to go a 1A, 1B approach with these two guys. So keep an eye out on that. And I think really you don't want Philip Lindsay to take – a brunt of a lot of contact. I don't think you want him, because he's a smaller guy now. He bulked up this offseason, but you don't want him to take a lot of those big hits on the inside. You want to be able to pound it inside with Royce Freeman. And then after that, you want to be able to add a little bit of flash. And that's where Phillip Lindsay comes in at the end. You know, you got to be able to have that dynamic, the smash and dash that we used to see with the Carolina Panthers, with D'Angelo Williams. And I forgot who else was out there when they had that kind of nickname with them, but yeah, definitely that's the kind of key focal point that the Broncos have in plan. But obviously, if one guy's got the hot hand, you know, they're going to ride it the entire way. But with that said, you know, Brian, we're going to get into our defensive segment coming up here in just a moment. But I do got to remind listeners of Lockdown Broncos and listeners of the Lockdown 49ers podcast, they know this as well. But the new Lockdown NFL is on fire. And you know what, Brian, you have a big part of being a reason that it is on fire. Because last week, it was one of the most listened to NFL shows across the Lockdown NFL network. And it features the expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson and hosted by yours truly, Brian Peacock, my man that's joining us here tonight. And Lockdown NFL is your daily national podcast on all things NFL with Matt's unique take on the game and Brian's insight. Follow Lockdown NFL now on your favorite podcast provider.
This podcast brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service, who has been in the business for 25 years, can help clients with all sorts of tax problems. Honest, straightforward assistance with unfiled tax returns, back taxes, IRS collection, payment plans, audit representation, whatever you need. Greg's Tax Service has you covered. Find out more on their website at gregstaxservice.com. Listen up, guys. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance, get that extra confidence with Blue Chew. That's like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the very first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. If you could benefit from a little extra function, maybe a little bit more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Most guys talk a good game, but Blue Chew helps your follow through. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, so they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Pay just $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
All right, jumping into our final segment here on tonight's special crossover game preview series, Broncos 49ers, Broncos Stadium at Mile High, 6 p.m. Mountain Time kickoff. You guys can catch all the action as well as a post-game recap from Locked On Broncos as well as Locked On 49ers. I'm joined by host of the Locked On 49ers podcast, Brian Peacock. Now, Brian, last segment, we spent some time talking about the offensive side of the ball for the Niners and for the Broncos. But let's start things off here with a little bit of a preview on the defensive side of the ball for the 49ers. Now, a lot of things have changed. More from what I've been told, not only with the free agent acquisitions that the 49ers had this offseason, they made some changes to the defensive line coaching staff, and they have a different front this year from what I've been told. What can you tell me a little bit more about that, given the fact that they did acquire Dee Ford via trade, they drafted Nick Bosa, they have DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead still there, and the key pickup this offseason of Quan Alexander? What can you tell me about the 49ers defense and what we can expect to see from them tonight when they go up against Joe Flacco and the Broncos offense?
Yeah, the 49ers did two things that I'm a big fan of. Number one is that they added pass rush, and they didn't just add one guy. They double dipped. They spent the money. They spent the trade chips that they needed to bring in Dee Ford to be a dynamic pass rusher off of the edge. And then they drafted Nick Bosa, number two overall. Both those players will probably not be playing this weekend, but they will be
a huge part of the 49ers' success this season, and to add to an already really good interior where you have five overall first-round picks now on that defensive front for the 49ers, and DeForest Buckner will continue to do DeForest Buckner things inside, and you've still got Solomon Thomas and Eric Armstead. So it's just a monster of a defensive line and a defensive front for the 49ers, and that is the one unit that I think could carry the 49ers through this season, and from what I understand, made life very difficult for Joe Flacco in those joint practices against the Broncos. So that's going to be the strength of the team. And then Fred Warner behind him with Quan Alexander, the new addition at linebacker. It's a dynamic front seven, and it's really a dynamic front six. And that's sort of the second thing that I loved about what the 49ers did up front is that they finally did, and I think more teams and more teams around the league, look, nickel is the new base. So what they wanted to do with that front is they brought in Chris Kucerik, who's the defensive line coach with the Lions, and he teaches that wide nine front. So what they're going to do is they're going to spread that defensive line out a little bit more, and they're going to play they're going to basically play the run on the way to the quarterback, and that's the way it's going to look. And it's going to be more of like an all nickel front as their base defense. And then behind them, they're going to have more true linebackers, more stack linebackers, which with the three linebacker positions are going to be more interchangeable than they used to be, where they had one guy who was a sort of a hybrid strong side linebacker and pass rusher type. Now they've got four true defensive linemen. They're going to have two defensive ends that are lined up a little bit, you know, and it's not a huge difference. You're not lined way up out on the sideline, but they're going to be a foot, 18 inches out wider than they used to be on the edge. And they're going to come in and they're going to be the guys who are containing the run from the outside and head on their way to the quarterback. They've already been really good up the middle, and then they're going to rely on the linebackers with their range behind them. So it's a really fun front, and I'm excited to see that front grow, and it's really going to be the strength of this football team. And, man, I can't wait to see Nick Bosa on the field, and it was rough that he's dealing with the injuries that he's dealing with right now, but it's it's an ankle sprain, not a big problem. He's going to be back week one. Little tendonitis for D Ford, so those aren't big problems, and they're going to be as cautious as they can with those guys so they can get everybody on the field week one and really get after the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So good thing for the Broncos is that they won't have to see too much of D Ford and Nick Bosa in this one.
So when we talk about this defensive front, you mentioned the wide nine. I imagine that with Eric Armstead, D Ford, whoever else is playing on the outside, especially in this game, we'll see a lot of pinch from the defensive front with the linebackers filling outside contain and probably some press coverage. You know, you mentioned Richard Sherman, Akello Witherspoon as well out there at corner, Jason Verrett, a very, very big addition that they picked up this offseason as well. So I'm eager to see how the Broncos offense will counteract it, especially with DeForest Buckner playing on the interior. You know, I'm an Oregon guy. I had the opportunity to watch this guy play, and I tell you what, he's got a high motor. He's very, very quick, and he's evolving, especially in a division where the defensive tackle in the NFC West, it's a premier position overall. We talk about Aaron Donald being over there at the LA Rams. Now you add in DeForest Buckner being a premier guy for that 49ers defense. Now, what you're going to see opposite of the 49ers defense, when the 49ers on offense, you're going to see a very dynamic Broncos defense, a 3-4 style scheme from Vic Fangio, Ed Donatell. And I tell you what, the Broncos secondary, they have some nice additions there. Bryce Callahan, a key offseason addition for them as well. You talk about Kareem Jackson as a strong safety, Chris Harris Jr. signing a one-year deal and possibly looking to be extended long-term by the Broncos after this season. Bradley Chubb playing that kind of role for Vic Fangio that we saw Khalil Mack play. He's more of the sizable Khalil Mack kind of comparison as the strong pass rusher opposite of him. You know it. Von Miller, who actually sat out of practice on Saturday with some knee soreness. So whether or not he's going to play in this game, I'm not sure. And I imagine if the knee soreness is bothering him a little bit, we may not see Von Miller in this game. And also to keep an eye on, too, Malik Reed, a guy who's been backing up Von Miller, an undrafted gem out of Nevada, has been stepping up tremendously in camp. He's been getting a lot of pressure, high motor that Vic Fangio really likes. He's been dealing with some side issues and oblique issue. And who knows whether or not he's going to play. So it's going to be really intriguing to see the kind of options there. But if both those guys do not go in tonight's matchup, which I think that we'll probably see maybe Von Miller, and if not, then we can expect to see former 49er as well, Dakota Watson, who you guys have some familiarity with being a former 49er as well. So the ties that kind of bind these two teams is incredible. Yep. John Lynch being a former Bronco. Could we see some possible wheeling and dealing after this matchup between the 49ers and the Broncos? I've been told that there might be some traction on maybe potentially looking at some trades after this game. And obviously being on the field, they've had a chance to watch each other in practice, but the game is the true measure of all things. The Broncos could look to add some depth at some positions there, maybe tight end, maybe as well as the offensive line. We could see some Willen and Dillon, but expect to see the Broncos defense send a lot of pressure towards Jimmy Garoppolo. They want to do that, you know, especially with Bradley Chubb, who had some good battles with Joe Staley this week at practice, and some chippiness there overall between those guys. But at the end of the day, there's a mutual respect between all of them. I'm really excited for this matchup, and I think that we're going to see a lot of pressure from the Broncos. I think we're going to see a lot of pressure from the 49ers, and I'm really intrigued to see if Connor McGovern is making that transition from guard to center full-time, who's had some issues with getting his snaps to the quarterback out of shotgun. I wonder how much of a difference that might make with DeForest Buckner playing a one technique or even a possible zero technique in this game, especially what we decide to see with the 49ers defensive front. So I'm really intrigued about all that.
You know, it's interesting, and there are a lot of ties with the 49ers and the Broncos, and if there is any offensive line depth on the Broncos, then I got to imagine John Lynch is having some conversations there with John Elway about that, because the 49ers are razor thin right now along the offensive line. And the 49ers might have a few extra tight ends. So if maybe there's something that the 49ers and the Broncos can do there. And you know they're close. So if there is something to be done, I bet they'll have those conversations. One question I have about what Vic Fangio's defense is looking like right now for the Broncos, and 49ers fans are very familiar with what Fangio's 3-4 defense looks like. One thing that the Broncos don't have is that dynamic linebacker combination that Fangio had in San Francisco with Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman. And you mentioned how the Broncos got torched by George Kittle. Is that something, those inside linebackers, how is that looking? Is that going to be a weakness for the Broncos going forward this year?
You know, there was a lot of questions when the Broncos decided not to draft a guy like Devin Bush in the first round of this year's draft, trading that pick to the Steelers, eventually going up and being able to get Noah Fant at pick number 20 overall. One of the things that the Broncos coaching staff, and somebody I've talked to inside the organization a few months ago before the whole process after free agency had played out, was the Broncos were super confident in the guys that they had being able to fit in Coach Fangio's defense. We're talking about Todd Davis and Josie Jewell. Now, Todd Davis has a calf strain. He's been out a majority of training camp, and he's expected to be back very, very soon, as obviously to be ready for the week one opener against the Raiders on Monday Night Football. But Josie Jewell just returned last week from an oblique injury. Expect him and Alexander Johnson to get the start, and both these guys have been very impressive. Alexander Johnson has been one of the guys to stand out with a high motor, being able to drop back into coverage, but especially being a major player in the run game. Josie Jewell, an underrated ability to cover in zone coverage against any team. He's been able to evolve his game a lot, and Coach Fangio's system defensively has made it easier for the inside backers to be able to identify and cover tight ends. Now, when we go back to that matchup last year where George Kittle had 200 yards, and I tell you what, that gives me nightmares. The Broncos, they have not forgotten about that game. It's in the minds of all the defensive players. But one of the things that really led to that, we know how amazing George Kittle is, yards after the catch, just being a versatile guy who, you know, if he gets help from a pick route or whether or not he catches a delayed screen and takes it, his ability to run after the catch is impeccable. Now, one of the things in that game, the Broncos were in cover zero pretty much 99.9% of that game and throughout the entire season. So anytime you match up a very athletic, versatile tight end like a George Kittle, and your linebackers have to man cover while playing the run as well, especially when you talk about RPOs being a new element to the game we're seeing more often, it's hard to cover tight ends. And it was no wonder George Kittle went off. Now, granted, George Kittle, a very, very talented tight end, probably one of the top tight ends in the league right now. So the Broncos have had to find ways to adjust playing in the AFC West. You get Hunter Henry back for the Chargers. He's a guy that's dynamic. You talk about Travis Kelce as well for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Broncos have had to address being able to cover the tight end, and they are confident with guys like Josie Jewell, Todd Davis, Alexander Johnson, and maybe even Josh Watson, another guy, another rookie for the Broncos that could potentially be a depth piece for them. They're very excited, and they're very optimistic that they have the right guys that can cover at that position. So definitely some exciting news there. Broncos 49ers kicking off tonight. This is our Locked On NFL Network crossover special. Locked On 49ers, Locked On Broncos. Obviously, you guys can catch Brian every single day on the Locked On 49ers podcast, as well as the Locked On NFL podcast, alongside scout, longtime scout and well-respected guy, Matt Williamson. So Brian, I want to take the time and obviously say thank you for joining us here today for this crossover show. I know you're a busy man, and I know that when it comes to Broncos 49ers and the ties that bind all of us together. We're always going to have a good show, and I hope that the listeners of Locked On Broncos and the listeners of Locked On 49ers got equal opportunity out of hearing both of us talk about each team.
Hey, Cody, thanks for doing the crossover here. It's always fun, even if it's for a preseason game, and I think Matt and I might be calling on you, too, to talk Broncos on Locked On NFL, so stay by the phone.
Absolutely. I'll always be ready, and obviously this matchup is going to be fun tonight. When lose or draw the preseason, it's a good way for all of us to evaluate the young players on our team and maybe see how the first teams kind of look with a little bit of limited action. So you guys can catch all the action tonight on Monday Night Football, ESPN, 6 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time kickoff, 49ers at the Broncos, Broncos Stadium at Mile High. And you guys can check out Locked On 49ers for a post-game report, as well as Locked On Broncos for a post-game recap of all the action of this game. We'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show and the post-game recap.